Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm Paolo Vines from Imperial College. Remy asked me to chair this session this morning. I will try to make people respecting timing because we would like to have also a general discussion at the end of the morning. So the first, this session, which is a session two, is about climate change adaptation and mitigation. And specifically about threats and opportunities for public health. And the first presentation is about deep decarbonization pathways in the transport sector by Ian Brian from IDDRI in Paris. Thank you. So you have exactly 20 minutes.
So I will try to do my best. And I count on you to show me, if, I don't know, remaining five last minutes or something like this. Cool. Hi, so nice to see all of you today to talk about mostly climate change mitigation on my side today. So it will not be a lot of adaptation on this presentation, but let's discuss it afterwards. So I'm working at the Institute for Sustainable Development and International Relations, so IDRI, which is a policy research institute affiliated to Sciences Po. And I'm working actually within a research program at this institute that is the Deep Decarbonization Pathways Initiative. And our main research questions are actually to work on how countries and sectors should transform by 2050 to be compatible with national priorities and the global carbon neutrality. And how actually long-term pathways, so we worked with the tools of developing pathways and how these kind of tools, so long-term pathways, could be relevant for actually enabling better policy dialogues. So here just on this map is the network. So we are a kind of research community that is globally, I mean, you will see some blank places, but we are working with country partners, research partners in all of these places at different stages. So I will not enter into the color, but that's different stage of collaboration. And we have developed together a common approach to rethink the design of long-term pathways and of scenarios to make them more relevant for the policy dialogues in the countries. Here, just a few publications, but just for the slides, and we can I can share it afterwards. So regarding the agenda today, when I discussed with Remy, I was like, okay, should I enter? I mean, where should I start in terms of presenting the deep decarbonization of transport sector? So I decided actually to have a few slides that are, let's say, providing the big picture of where do we start from before entering into where do we need to go. So reaching carbon neutrality, what does that mean also for the transport sector, the specific transformation it requires? And I will try to show you some of the latest research we have done in emerging economies. And finish just with an opening part on transition opportunities for public health. So just for all of you, transport emissions today represent about 8.7 gigaton CO2 equivalent per year. So it's about 14% of global GHG emissions. And as you can see here on this graph, most of these emissions are coming from road transportation, so either the light-duty vehicle that are partially, let's say, commercial, so freight and passenger vehicles, and trucks, so around 65% of these emissions are due to road traffics. And then you see the international transport by shipping and aviation that are mostly international transport, that represents around 20%. So just to keep in mind, like 20% of these package of emissions are coming from international transport versus 80% that are national. This is important because the regulation of this type of emissions are quite different, and you can imagine that to regulate or to try to have an impact on reducing these emissions, these are not the same policy places and policy roles. And clearly, just as a kind of average, because very often when we talk about transport decarbonization, most of the people think about passenger mobility. So just to remind also that when looking at these 80% of national emissions, the split is not like 80%, 20%. It's around 40%, 60%. So 40% coming from freight and 60% coming from passenger. And most of the time, the policy debate focused on passenger mobility decarbonization, where freight is also a big topic. current trend, I'm not very good, and it's a bit of a pity. So if you see on this graph, so since the 90s, actually CO2 emissions have grown significantly and are still continuing to grow. Between 2010 and 2019, that's the latest IPCC assessment report 6 information, so related to a constant growth of 2% per year. So this is continually growing. And I think it's interesting to notice that over the, let's say, the period, so between the 90s and 2014, the most rapid growth came from international, actually maritime and international aviation, you see here. And of course, the green that is here is like, as on the other graph, is the road transport and is also, of course, defining the main trend of the growth. So this is coming from this road transport. And what a few analysts have identified and researchers have identified is that if we continue on this path and if nothing changes, so we are talking about doubling the emissions and even more, going more than 12 gigaton by 2050, if we are not able to really cut this curve. The main drivers and challenges for growth emission in these sectors are clearly the development of motorized mobility and the use of thermal combustion engine. As you see on these two elements is, of course, I think it's a main information is like oil combustion, 50% of the global primary oil consumption is actually 90% of the transport energy consumption. So when we talk about the other fuels in the transport mobility, this is still a really thin line. So when we talk about electricity, so today it's not representing much more, of the energy consumption, but it should. And the situation is that we have a strong dependency linked to the mobility model of development that is really linked to this motorized mobility, and that's something I will link then after to public health, of course. Second main drivers, that is also a key one, is of course the exploding demand. So this is just a curve starting from the 50s till 2013, and actually I could draw the same line continuing to explode, is the demand that we count in these sectors in passenger kilometers, so all the kilometers that are traveled by the different person, or the ton kilometer, so for the freight we count in ton kilometer. And clearly, so both curves are just exploding exponentially, so which explains also that the demand is growing fastly, and a big issue is that around 10% of the global population today account for 80% of the total passenger kilometer. So I let you imagine if the 90s other percent decide to have the same type of mobility than the 10% that are doing most of these kilometers. So we can indeed expect that, there will be a still continuing growth. And we see, of course, strong geographical disparities between the developing or emerging economies versus the developed countries on this topic. It's a bit the topic of the day, let's say. The transport transformation is also challenging when we think at decarbonization, because it should also be compatible with many national priorities. And actually, when we worked in the countries with country partners, the first conversation we have about transport transformation is not about CO2. It's about security. It's about congestion. It's about inequality, air pollution, of course. And very often, decarbonization is not the first topic we enter in. So when we talk about transport transition, of course, and transport decarbonization, we need to take into account all these key challenges, because then we did not catch the interest of the people we work with, and which is logical. The transformation is not just about carbon and needs to also take into account all these dimensions. And just to show you a bit, there are a lot of different research on, trying to map a bit the different sustainable development goals related to the transport transformation. This is just one of them that is done by the World Bank, and just trying to show or recombine the different SDGs around transport transformation. And they include, of course, global health and well-being, so the SDG 3, in, let's say, the safety, their safety part. But yeah, just for you to know, so that there are different, very interesting works on this. So that's for where we start from. and providing a bit the big picture of the challenges we are facing and the main trends. Now I will enter into the global carbon neutrality target and what it means concretely for the transport sector. And maybe taking a step back and just reminding this that is coming from the special report on 1.5, so not, now already a few years ago, on what are the nature of transformation that is required by carbon neutrality when we talk about this. And we have a lot of difficulty when we discuss very often, you know, I will then describe it, but first transformation are energy efficiency. You know, like, okay, let's do a bit of energy efficiency, let's improve the fuel consumption of the vehicles. We need to go well beyond that. This is not exactly the topic, and the result of the past years in many parts of the world show that this is just actually the energy efficiency gains that we have done on vehicles are just countering a bit the increase of demand. So this is not enabling a real deep reduction of the emission of this sector. And here I like this. So the first statement is just to mention that we worked on our research activities at this horizon of 2050, 2070 for that purpose. So we work at the national level with our research partner to try to build deep decarbonization pathways from a backcasting approach. So looking at what does that mean by this horizon, 2050, 2070 in your countries, to then recombine calculate or think how we can go there from our starting point. So this is the first point I wanted to mention. And the second is that we try to indeed discuss what the IPCC means by unprecedented, rapid, and far-reaching transitions. And discussing that, okay, this goes well beyond energy efficiency. This is what we are talking if we seriously want to think at the transformation that are required. And actually, then we try to discuss how do we achieve these profound transformations with our research partners, going beyond technological change, which is the first entry point of many of them, looking at, you know, new vehicles and stuff like this. Also discussing concretely what are the economic, social, behavioral, organizational changes that are also at stake and needs to be taken into account. What are then the policy package that we need to implement? And again, going beyond the carbon price alone. This is clearly most of the modeling research team that we work with are, of course, working with the carbon price. But then we need to be more precise on the different sub-package that we need to implement to also avoid, we know, all the negative effect that it could have in terms of inequality. So looking at all these other policy package. And of course, through this work of long-term pathways, we think it's a good tool to enable the dialogue between the different stakeholders that needs to take an action. And clearly, this is not only about public institutions. It's about private companies, that they understand what is the transformation at stake and what they need to do. This is about the finance sector, the civil society, on their behaviors. So trying to provide a picture of the role of each other and that they could understand what they need to do in such transition. And now I go back to transport. So on transport now, the current action are clearly not enough, and I will explain you. This is the kind of simple approach we take to compute CO2 emissions on the transport sector, you know, with activity, so meaning the demand side, so in passenger kilometer or ton kilometer, multiplied by, you know, the modal structures, the different type of vehicle we are using, multiplied by the energy consumed by this vehicle, and of course the load factor, the number of tons or passenger we have in the vehicle, and of course the fuel carbon content of energy. This is a simple view of the CO, or simple equation to calculate the CO2 emission, but which helps to see where the action are taken or not. And clearly, if we look at that, this is what we can see. We see no real action on the first two pillars, let's say the transforming mobility patterns and organization that could indeed have an impact on the mobility demand. We'll see also a little action or little energy to the topic that is on shifting to active mode and in more energy efficient modes of transport, like built mobility, freight for freight, rail freight, or river waterborne freight, or public transport for passenger. And we see actions, but actions that are insufficient on energy efficiencies and on fuel shift. I'm not saying that this is not useful to do actions on energy efficiency, just to be clear. I mentioned that, just saying it's not sufficient. And clearly what we are seeing right now is that the deep decarbonization of the different studies we have done, that it requires action on all these different pillars. And we cannot just say, hey, look, I will bet everything on electric vehicles, and let's see what happens. This is not how it will work. So we take a lot of risk that if it fails, we fail the whole transition. So enabling a thinking and strategies that take into account all of these pillars, and of course have an articulated transformation between all of them is necessary. Just to give you an example, on playing on the organization of the cities, we clearly understand that we could, by reducing the distance between, you know, work and home, have first enabling a modal shift. So I mean, playing on kilometer could also have an effect on the modal shift, which could have an effect directly on then the energy that is required, because if it's closer, we change your mode and we don't require the same energy to go there. So just to mention that we should not, I mean, it's a simplified representation. We should not take them one by one separately, of course, and that we have many interactions between them. And clearly, I will present you the analytical framework we are using beyond these main pillars. Actually, they are all the social, economic, organizational, and physical drivers that we actually need to talk about. And on the passenger transport sector, we developed with our research partners, a few teams from our network, an analytical framework that we think is relevant to try to address all the different dimensions of the transformation and limit the fact that we avoid completely a part of the discussion. So talking about, of course, the future of demography and economics, and talking about human settlement and spatial organization, being able to integrate the social cultural practices and lifestyles and this evolution over time. Of course, technological development, fuel generation and carbon content, but also the link and penetration of alternative motorization, but also the link between this, meaning income, so economics, income dedicated to transport, modal distribution, and modal costs are one of the main relations that we know have an effect, or speed, infrastructure, and time dedicated to transport. And we have noticed that when forcing or working with different research colleagues and also people that are interested by the development of scenarios on all of these dimensions, and trying to think at, okay, how this is evolving, and avoiding having only a conversation on, let's say, point 4, 5, 6, which is most of the time what happens, is then necessary to have a cross-fertilization or better also represent and make it more, let's say, understandable by the different actors I mentioned before, the public, the civil society, the companies. So entering and describing what is happening on these different areas is really something that we think is necessary. And just, yeah, it was just example, but thinking at such question and you should imagine, so it's just title chapters, but within these title chapters, we have a series of different questions that we try to develop during the different research activities, and we try to then have a set of like bunch of questions, think, okay, you should ask yourself this question. You should ask yourself this question within this chapter, and then during the different research program, we try to answer some of them. And of course, we are not answering all of them at each of the project, but we try to advance step by step. And the same kind of structure for freight. I will not enter into it, but indeed again, avoiding having only a conversation about the future of goods, transport vehicles, and production and distribution of low-carbon fuels, and enabling a discussion about, yeah, what is happening to the system of production and the supply chains? How should that be transformed? What is the transformation of the consumption behaviors? So having all of this discussion needs to be discussed within the transport conversation. And avoid having a picture of transport being only a supply side sector, which is very often what happens with researchers that consider, like, let's say that transport is just a way to move, and then we don't think, I mean, let's say that the rest is exogenous, and that we think that then we try to just think at the transport system. Transport decarbonization requires to think at all of that together and systemically. And just last few words about the, I don't know if I'm good on time or...
2 minutes.
2 minutes, perfect. And just about the latest work we have done in Brazil, India, Indonesia, and South Africa that we are just finishing. And also that is quite impressive in the fact that you see they start from a low, already a low level in terms of ton CO2 per capita. Just for an average in OECD countries, the average is about 3 ton per capita. For the transport sector. So here they all start from a level that is below already 0.6, but all they consider what they can do to play their role in the global carbon neutrality, and they are able to develop scenarios that even reduce their emissions per capita. So this is here the other unit per passenger kilometer. But what is interesting is that, I mean, we don't have a simple answer on what is the fair share, you know, on transport sector within the global carbon neutrality or reaching carbon neutrality. And that's the type of answer we try to provide with the scenarios we do with the different teams. And as you can see, for example, in this work, the Brazilian, which is a specific country, as you know, for having a lot of forest, and that actually had a different view of how to reach carbon neutrality, and which make them think or design a pathway for them that indeed go, that is less ambitious than the others on the decarbonization of transport sector. But just, and this is the type of conversation we try to enable also on the role of the transport in the carbon neutrality at the national level. And I will finish with this very, very quickly. So just three main, I'm sorry, I've just copy-pasted because it's a paper we have just submitted, and I'm not sorry for that. The three main points I found interesting is that clearly the role also of these pathways for us is provide example of what could be the type of targets and guidance by 2050, because in many countries there, and if you look at the policy decisions, they are not very often a target that is fixed for the different subsectors, because it's challenging to see the fair share. And clearly, we think that this is also important in the coming decades to be able to also have a clarified vision of each country on the role of the different subsectors. Second is clearly what I was saying about the other measures, the demand-side measures. And in this work, we have integrated some other measures regarding the land use, the social and urban policy, and of course have identified that this could play an important role in reducing distance, cost of mobility and time, and of course by then improving the quality of life and supporting the shift to non-motorized mobility and public transport. And this is in all of the countries that we have worked with in this research, they have all taken that into account because they think it's relevant. So now policymakers also need to concretely see how we implement it, but that's a transition that is necessary. And the last point is, of course, the fact that, I mean, when talking about barriers and enablers for the transition, one of the main challenges in emerging economies is the car ownership growth. And the fact that they all predict, indeed, as a model of development, the development of individual car mobility, because it's the development model that they think is the relevant development model, because that's the European or the North American countries have done. And clearly, they also identify that this is creating a lot of issues and congestion, I mean, risk, accident, whatever. But and today, they are not able, or the country policymakers are not able to really think at the relevant policy that could provide this improvement in terms of quality of life, but at the same time fighting against the development of this motorized mobility that we know have a lot of indirect or direct impact. And I finished just with this slide and opening for the other question. I think clearly the transport sectors, and I'm really happy, Remy, you invited me, is really connected with a lot of topics on public health. Of course, air pollution, the most obvious one, because I told you thermal combustion engine is clearly today more than 90% of the vehicles. Developing active mobility in cities. There is clearly a big role and a big possibility that we have access in different national scenarios. And also a thing that is maybe less taken into account, but I would call it reducing stress and danger, which is for me related to public health. And due to the fact of motorized mobility, I mean, traffic accidents or the noises in city, or even the visual pollutions that we can think in the urban spaces, that could indeed create some stress and danger for the population. So I think it's the three opportunities I see that are well connected with transport, decarbonization, and transformations. Thank you.